Father and our God, what a great honor and privilege it is to know the true God. And us not to know you, but also to be privileged to fellowship with you. That it would please you to visit our gathering, our lives with your tangible presence. We don't take it for granted. We thank you for the example of our father David, as it is written in your word, a man after your own heart, who brought your presence down without all the Levitical ceremonies. You honored him in the Old Testament as though he was living in the New. Now today, you're raising up sons of David after his spiritual pattern, to glorify you in the earth. Thank you. As we go into your word, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I ask for fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present here and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you, Father, through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Holy Ghost be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. We ask for all of these mercies in Jesus' wonderful name. Help me to speak with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. In Jesus' name we pray. This afternoon I have a present truth instructional message. What we mean by present truth is, the Bible says, thy word is truth. So it's something from the word of God that has present prophetic application and fulfillment. It is crucial or necessary for all of us to understand that all scripture is prophetic. That's an understanding that is not very common. The Bible says no prophecy of the scripture. So all scripture is prophetic. And it is the will of God that the church fulfills all the prophetic scriptures. I was meditating between yesterday and this morning And one of the things the Lord was reminding me of, which we shared here recently when we're talking about the manifestation of the sons of God, was that one of the things the sons of God are going to do, the manifestation of the sons of God is going to do, is to fulfill all the law and the prophets. Not some of it, all of it. Jesus said he came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. And he also gave a timeline. He said that, you know, heaven and earth will not pass away until everything I've said be fulfilled. That's why, as by the grace and the mercy of God, some of us, I'm not the only one, there are others that I know God has. I may not even know them. Now, there are a lot of people who don't know I exist. Just like I don't know a lot of other people exist. If you went to some of these men who I frequently quote, spiritual fathers that I have followed, you know, some of them are dead now, they've gone to heaven, like E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, people like, you know, Brother Copeland. They don't know I exist. They never heard of me before. Ken Hagin, I just met once or twice briefly, but he doesn't know me. I don't know him personally. You know, I didn't know him personally, rather. You know, others I've not really met. So, you know, and that's something we all have to be aware of. Just as you don't know people, people also don't know you. Just people don't know you. There are other people who may be like you that you don't even know. That's why it's very foolish to think like Elijah, that I'm the only one. God will amaze you. That he has 7,000 who are hiding in caves somewhere and have not kissed Baal. Hallelujah. So it's always good to tread softly. The message today is called Prayer and the Ministry of Angels. And characteristically, or rather, you know, uncharacteristically, you know, when I began to prepare the message, the Lord said, give them a definition of prayer. I said, all the people know what prayer is. He said, Tell them again, even though they may have heard it and they have known it over the years. You know, Peter said, I will put you into remembrance of these things even though you know them. So, let's go. Prayer is communication between man in the physical realm and God in the spiritual realm through the avenue of words, thoughts, and corresponding manifestations. I'm going to say that again because it's a mile deep. Prayer is communication between man in the physical realm and God in the spiritual realm through words, thoughts, and corresponding manifestations. What that means is that when you think something or you pray something, God will respond, even though God is invisible in the spiritual realm, but there'll be some corresponding manifestation of what you thought and said. And that's how you communicate with God. That's how prayer goes from a religious liturgy and formality into an active reality of fellowship with God. Might I add, for the benefit of those who may be listening to me for the first time, that the spiritual realm is real, although it is invisible. And that's what makes prayer very difficult for a lot of people. Because when they pray, they don't see anybody. So some people say, oh, is God even there? Is he even hearing my prayers? They base their prayer on how they feel. Oh, I don't feel like praying. Oh, I feel low. Oh, I'm feeling, you know, sad. So I can't pray. All that is a consequence of spiritual ignorance as well as spiritual immaturity. For the unbeliever, it's ignorance. For the undeveloped Christian, it's immaturity. Prayer has nothing to do with how you feel. You are operating spiritual principles and laws. Just like, even if we are feeling, maybe, let me just give an example. It just came to me now. Imagine you're feeling weak. You know, or I don't want to use the word sick. You know, or you're feeling discouraged. Then you take the remote control of your television and you switch it. The remote control will work irrespective of how you're feeling. It's a law. It's an electromagnetic wave that's moving at the speed of light that goes into the television and it triggers some electronic circuit inside it to switch it on or to change the channel. Your physical feeling, it has nothing to do with how you're feeling. Not only that, it has nothing to do with the dress you're wearing. It will work with a white dress as well as with a blue one. That's the reality of spiritual things. When you're not feeling good, still speak God's word. Still pray. The way you feel is not going to do. You're activating spiritual forces. And when you understand that, you will do it irrespective of how you're feeling. And you know the good news? It will now change how you're feeling. Give the Lord a clap offering. But you don't understand that prayer is communication between man who is in the physical world and God who is in the spiritual world. When we mean spiritual world, we're talking about a realm of existence that is operating above the power, the natural power, I would use speed, you know, of light, of natural light. When I became a Christian, God gave me this revelation, and then it was confirmed to me by Kenneth Copeland. I was in England, I was studying, you know, I was doing engineering, communication engineering, and I was dealing with waves and, you know, building antennas and radio waves, space communication and satellites, you know, all the stuff that is being, that has become commercialized today. This was 42 years ago, you know, 1980, were at the cutting edge of research at that time. They had not yet come into commercial production. Mobile phones, we didn't get mobile phones until 1990, you know, late 80s. Before people, you know, who had phones were these big, gigantic things, you know. And that gave me an insight, you know. So when I began to read my Bible and I began to pray a lot in tongues and get revelation knowledge, I began to have this understanding that you move above the speed of light. You move into another realm. It's real. It's just that it's operating at a level of power or energy, if you like, that your physical senses cannot perceive. And being a physicist, my first degree was in physics. And then my second, you know, in engineering. And then, you know, I was solid state physics. And I did a PhD later on. And that background really helped me. Because I know it's real. The fact that you can't see something does not do away with its reality. And it's because of the level of energy and power that it's operating that your physical senses do not perceive them. Even something like, for example, when you go to the hospital, you know, if you go to the radiology department where they have x-rays, you'll see them draw this big X. Then they'll say, don't, you know. There's a place you shouldn't go past, you know, because it's dangerous. But if you went in front of an X-ray machine, stupidly, now don't do it, foolishly, and you exposed yourself, you won't feel anything. But it's destroying cells in your body. It's later that you will now know that it has, you know, destroyed some of the cells you know, in your body, God forbid. But the fact you didn't feel anything doesn't mean that the x-rays did not penetrate your body. But they were operating at the speed of light. X-rays, ultraviolet rays, infrared waves, visible light, radio waves are all in what we call the EM or electromagnetic spectrum. They all operate at the speed of light. You can't perceive them. This microphone, for example, has no physical wire. But there is an amplifier up there and a tuner that this, there's a wave coming from this mic now to that place. But you can't see it, but it's real. So that's what spiritual things are. They are operating at a higher level of energy above the spiritual world, above the physical world, rather. And spiritual things create, control all physical events. Every physical thing you can see came from the spiritual realm, from God. So when we pray, that's why it was John Wesley who said this. Kenneth Hagin quoted it, and I learned it from Kenneth Hagin, and it was true. He said, it is more important to learn how to pray than it is to get a degree. Now, he didn't say getting a degree was not important. But he said, it is John Wesley. You know, he said, it's more important to learn how to pray than it is to get a university degree. See, if you learn how to pray and you get the wisdom of God, you can get 10 degrees. But if you have 10 degrees and you don't know how to pray, when some problems come, your degrees will not be able to help you. Because all your degrees are physical. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. So prayer is crucial. Now, I entitled it Prayer and the Ministry of Angels. And I'm going to be talking about how angels operate when we pray. Angels are spiritual servants of God. They serve, you know, God created them as his servants. But they were sent to serve us. They're God's servants, but they're delegated, they're designated to look after us, to serve us, God's people. You see Hebrews chapter 1. And look at verse 14. Well, verses 13 and 14. It says, and to which of the angels, I didn't hear you, said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Now, he didn't say that to any angel. He said that to the Lord Jesus Christ and to you and I. You know, religious people think angels are superior to men. There's a lack of understanding of the Bible. Men are superior to angels. Because men are made in the image and likeness of God. Not all the angels are made in the image and likeness of God. And the few of them who are, there are still some things in God that they don't have. That's what makes us superior to angels. I know that blows the religious mind. The reason why man now looks inferior to some angels is because he's fallen. Because of sin. But through Jesus Christ and the redemption that we have in him, and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been elevated back to the position from which we fell and even above it. And we are now seated with Jesus in the heavenly places, superior to any angels. Far above, everybody scream it. All principality, power, might, and dominion as angels. So, are they not all, verse 14, Hebrews 1, ministering spirit, the word minister means serving, sent forth to minister or serve for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's us. So angels are spiritual servants sent by God to serve us. Now, the crucial thing about angels that we need to understand is that they have the ability from God to be able to operate both in the physical and spiritual realms, sometimes simultaneously. So even though angels are spirits and they normally operate in the spiritual realm, as God wills, sometimes you will see them in the physical, and many times you won't even know that they're angels. And even when you don't see them, they actually affecting physical things. And that is why our prayer lives are intricately, let me say intricately, interwoven. I didn't hear you. With the ministry of angels. You can't talk about prayer and not talk about angels, if you really understand prayer properly. Why? Because the angels are an essential, intricate ingredient in our prayer lives. When God answers prayer, He sends angels as spiritual servants to actually deliver the answer. And there are many examples in the Bible. You know, I'm just going to give a few. Look at Abraham and Lot. When Lot foolishly separated from Abraham because of covetousness and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Another message for another day. And, you know, Mommy preached about Lot's wife the other day. But the point I just want to make is that Abraham stood before God when God told him he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, thinking about Lot. He said, if you can find 10 people there, he bargained it down from 50 to 10. And God said, yeah, sure, if I find 10 people there, I will save the place. So as the time of judgment approached, God sent two angels, if I remember rightly. But if you saw them, you won't know they were angels. You just think they are men. And they went to Sodom, and Lot, I don't know if initially he knew they were angels, but he knew they were strangers, and he offered them hospitality. They now told him later on that it was God who sent them, that they are angels, to get him and his whole family out of Sodom because judgment was going to fall from heaven the next day. That night, some foolish men from Sodom, perverse men, because the angels were men, they looked just like men, you know, wanted to, you know, come and have homosexual relations with those angels, foolish people. And they came to the door of Lot's house and began to bang the door and said, bring those men out. If you don't, we're going to burn your house down and everything. You know what the angels did? They were physical. They were, although they are angels who operate, but they could operate in the physical. So you could see, touch them, you know. They smote those men with blindness. And the next day, they held the hand of Lot, his wife, and the girls, their husbands didn't listen to them, and escorted them out of Sodom. They literally dragged them. Physical. We know the story and Lot's wife. I'm not going to go into all of that. Another very good example is Daniel. We know the story. Daniel prayed. And angel Gabriel, we now know his name is Gabriel, you know, came from heaven and brought him an answer. And he told him, he said, look, the first day you prayed, God heard. And I was sent that very first day. He said, but the prince of Persia, another wicked spirit, that's why principalities and powers. The word principality just means authority. You know, you have the principality of Monaco. It's like a local government. You know, let me just say this on the side. Many Christians are very unaware of this, you know, sadly. That's why Paul said, I will not have you ignorant concerning spiritual things. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Everywhere you have a human government, there is a corresponding demonic government that has been assigned to the place. Just start one. There is local government, Ibadan North local government. There's a principality there. Hello. Hello. For your state, there's a principality. You know, for Nigeria, there is a prince. For Africa, there is a prince. For England, there is a prince. The United Kingdom,
Then there's one specially assigned to London. Then there, yes. Then there's another one probably assigned to Kent. Our house in England is in a borough called Kent. You know, anywhere once human beings start a government, Satan sends an angel there, a fallen angel, to try and control what goes on there. That's where we get principality, and the word powers just means authorities. That's where we get it from. And when we pray, God, when we release sufficient power, we're going to see that in a minute, you know, the angels of God from heaven can displace, overcome those principalities and powers to cause the will of God to be done on the earth in those principalities, in those locale, in those local areas, you know, rather than the will of the devil, depending on whether the Christians in that locality are praying or not. So that's what happened with Daniel. As he prayed, God sent an angel. The angel was withstood. It was, you know, there was spiritual warfare. That's the real where spiritual warfare really comes in. By the angel that was coming from heaven, the prince of Persia. But thank God, he went back, got reinforcements. Michael joined Gabriel with a host of other angels. It's real, folks. It's not kindergarten stuff. It's real. And there was a fight in the heavens. And finally, Gabriel was able to break through. That's the real meaning of breakthrough. Not that you got money to go to Abuja. Hello, somebody. There was a breakthrough, and Gabriel took 21 days. He finally got through and told Daniel, said, from the first day you prayed, I was sent. But these evil spirits, I got through when Michael came to help me. And I now come to tell you, give you the answer to your prayer. In Daniel's case, and this is very important about the ministry of angels, the angel came to give him understanding about what he was praying about. He was praying about the end time and what was going to happen to Israel, the restoration of Israel from Babylonian captivity back to the promised land, the building of the temple and all of that. So, you know, Gabriel gave him a whole, you know, prophetic seminar, so to speak, on what was going to happen. And many times God does that for us. He will send angels to come and minister to you. Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to appear to you like with Daniel and begin to give you some lesson on the blackboard. Angels affect our thoughts. So when God wants to speak to you, you might get an angel, and the angel will now put those thoughts that God wants you to know into your mind. That happens. We're going to get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. When you pray in tongues, God will say, he's an angel. It's angels he sends to put those thoughts into our minds so we have understanding. He told Daniel, he said, I have come to give you, to make you, that's it, thank you. Now I am come to make thee understand. The angel will cause you, he will put my thoughts into your minds. Now watch this. This is good stuff, honey. Do you know that it is the same way that evil spirits and the devil affect the thoughts and the feelings of men is exactly the same way and superior to the way angels affect the thoughts and the feelings of men. Oh yes, that's why prayer is so important. Because when we pray, what we are doing is that we are releasing divine power and angels into the atmosphere, into the environment. So men are now influenced more by the angels of God and less by the devil and his people. When we don't pray, those other ones influence them more. May God have mercy on us. I didn't hear you. Watch this, darling. Great responsibility that has been placed upon our shoulders. That is why the scripture says the government shall be on his shoulders. The government of Nigeria is on our shoulders. I didn't hear amen. If we do what we're supposed to do, we will control what is happening. Those angels will have free course. They'll come in here and influence our leaders. Influence their circumstances. The one that doesn't go, God doesn't want, he'll remove them. I don't know if you heard that. And the one God wants, he puts them down. Have you heard the scripture where it says, I have heard once, yea, twice? Now power belongs to God. He puts one up and he puts another one down. We haven't seen much of it because we haven't seen much prayer. I said this many times over the years. I'm going to keep saying it. According to James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, it is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that does what? Revelation. It's not there. It's implicit. It's not explicit, but it's there. It means that you have three kinds of prayers. Prayers that avail nothing. Hello? Prayers that avail little. And prayers that avail much. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Don't put your hand up. Ask yourself, what are my prayers availing? Are my prayers availing nothing? Are my prayers availing little? Or are my prayers availing much? And the answer to that question is, how effectually, how fervently, and how much in right standing are you when you pray? That will now determine how much your prayers avail. If you can't say amen, say oh me. It's the truth. And so, God wants us to understand the operation of angels. Another example is Samson. When Samson was to be born, God sent an angel to his parents. It's in the book of Judges. You know, and the angel, physical. They saw him physically. So they were so awed and everything. They said, oh, let's prepare some food for you. He said, okay, go and prepare. He said, but I won't eat it. He said, but go and prepare it anyway. So they prepared the food and put it on something. The angel, you know, manifested spiritual power and burnt up the offering and went up like a flash of light. But it was a physical angel they could see. They could see him physically. Come to the New Testament. Two examples I'll just give. Three. Peter was in jail in Acts chapter 5, I believe it was. You know, they were persecuting the church. They put him in jail. And the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing for him by the church. And in the middle of the night, an angel, watch this, prof. Pastor G. The guy walked through the wall. So I said, how can he do that? How does the radio wave from up there go through those glasses? Everybody look at where the glasses are there. It's closed. And all the wood there. Yet the radio wave comes through it into this microphone. Then turn to your neighbor and say, that's the same way the angel entered the prison. He's a spirit. Let me just do a little physics. Not much, just a little. Everything is vibrating. See this chair, honey, that you are sitting on? It looks solid. And it is solid in this, what we call the macroscopic world. But if you go down to the subatomic level, do you understand? All the things there are made out of atoms. Let's keep it simple. You know, nucleons and electrons. Those electrons are small little particles that, you know, they're not really vibrating. They're vibrating, but they're buzzing around. Let's just say it like that, you know. And there's a big gap between the nucleus and the electron. It's like empty space. So a lot of stuff you're sitting on, there's a lot of space there. But you can't see it. But anything that's operating above the speed of light, he has so many ways he can take to come in. Give the Lord a clap offering. Keep it simple. I could go deeper, but we don't want to do physics. We want to do I illustrate this. Somebody was asking me recently. He said, because, you know, they invited me to the physics department, the students, that I should come and give them an inspirational speech. So I went. So one of the professors, who is my friend and also my classmate, he said, I don't know where Olubi gets the inspiration. The guy is a pastor. I don't know where he gets the inspiration to still have interest in physics after all these years. So I now got up and said, the thing that gives me the inspiration is the Bible. I said, physics is the study of physical energy. The Bible is a study of spiritual energy. It's the truth. It's really true. And so, they can walk through doors. So the angel was, he just appeared in the jail. You know, in those days they didn't have electricity. So they had put Peter in chains and he was sleeping. Because Peter believed God. So he was like you, you'd have been doing all night. And I've been crying, oh God, oh Allah mark my me. But Peter believed because Jesus had told him he was going to be old. So he rested on the word of the Lord. Can you rest on the word of God? Now, it doesn't mean he didn't pray. They prayed. But you know, you can pray a prayer of fear and unbelief. And you can pray a prayer of faith. I'm sure he probably prayed for 1 or 2 hours and then he slept. God will take, God is in control. Don't your neighbor say God is in control. So the angel came into the cell, you know, in the middle of the night and there was a light. It's not normal. It's normally dark here. Peter was so fast asleep, the angel had to kick him. To show you how much at peace Peter was. Hey, come on, get up. Woke up. I saw this tall guy. You know, maybe about 6-7 feet. No, they're not 6, 7, 8 feet. You know. So, the angel said, get up. And follow me. You know. The Bible says that all the chains on his something, they just opened by themselves. Who opened it? Angels. I just got a revelation, honey. There wasn't one angel in that place. There were many. They only allowed them to see one. It was some of the others that took the chains off. Give the Lord a clap offering. Follow me. As they, you know, the cell is locked. The cell opened by itself. Another angel. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. All the guards were sleeping. They could not wake up another angel. I remember when Saul and his men fell into a deep sleep from the Lord. Oh, those guys work, man. If we know how to cooperate with them, we will go far. Then he followed Peter. The main door, you know, he was in one cell. That one opened. Then they went through all the jail. Then the main gate of the jail, that one too opened. Then he led him, until he got to the place in the city where he could know his way home. Then the angel disappeared. The ministry of angels. I give another one. New Testament. Paul is on a ship going to Rome. They get into this storm. And it was like everybody was going to die. So Paul fasts and prays. Everybody say fast and pray. Say fasting and praying will cause you to see more manifestations of the ministry of angels. So he said, don't worry, everybody, chill. It's only be translation. An angel appeared to me today. And he said that we're not going to lose anybody on this ship because of me. Paul. He said, Lord, God has given thee all the people that are on the ship. He said, but they shouldn't try and escape. If they try and escape, they will die. But if they stay with you under your covering, that's Olubi Johnson's paraphrase, you know, they'll be okay. And he said, for I believe God that it shall be as it was told me. If you read that story, it's one of the most lovely stories in the Bible. The ship was destroyed quite all right. But do you know that not one person died? And you know what happened? Some people were on, when the ship broke up, they were boards of wood and everything. Angels made sure that that everybody had something to float on to take them to the shore. Even unbelievers. What will God do if we learn how to pray? Let me paraphrase that. For those who don't know how to pray. For those of us who know how to pray, what will God do if we pray more effectually and more fervently? Angels. Physical. The boat is a physical boat, not a spiritual boat. Number three, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is New Testament. Just is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. These doctors will tell you. They said his sweat was like great drops of blood. I would not want to measure Jesus' BP at that time. Dr. Williams, what would be the blood pressure? When someone is praying so much that his sweat, the blood starts coming out, the heart must have been pumping. The weight of the whole world. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. That's ultra high pressure, blood pressure. And he's praying earnestly. With tongues and groanings. And the Bible says with strong crying and tears. It was as if, you know, God said, please remove this. But nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. It wasn't a 5-minute prayer. It was a 3-hour prayer. The Bible says that as he prayed more earnestly, there appeared an angel from heaven doing what? Strengthening. I gave you Old Testament and New Testament. Angels are there all the time. Now let me sound a warning. You don't go and start looking for angels. Now don't say, you know, Pastor Olubi said we have angels. So God, I'm not going to pray today. I just want to see an angel. The devil will deceive you. The Bible says Satan behaves like an angel of light. So don't do that. Just pray. When you learn to pray, we're going to get there in a minute, and pray a lot in the spirit, those angels are always in operation. Whether you see them or you don't see them. If God wills, he may show you an angel. If he doesn't show you an angel, don't let it bother you. You will see the manifestation. I can tell you story after story. I just don't have the time. When I have prayed, and I know it's the ministry of angels. I was in an accident in 1982. I came out through the windscreen. The top of the car, it was a Volkswagen Beetle that my mom bought for me. It caved in where I was sitting. I didn't have a scratch on my head. That's against the laws of physics. That thing should have parted my head. The windscreen ordinarily should have shattered. The windscreen was intact. It opened outside. So I stepped out. Me and Brother Fred, I think, okay. All I had was a small scratch on my something. Ministry of Angels. Another time in 1983, when they had the coup. The first Buhari coup, where Sonny Abacha announced it. This is December 1983. We went to Lagos. They just had Christ Chapel. Tunde Joda and his wife, you know, sat in a sitting room in Surulere. So my wife and I, we just went to fellowship with them and some of our friends, you know. So we're coming back. You know, I had this Igala then that my dad bought for me after the Volkswagen was damaged and it was in repairs. You know, on the road, the tire went down. In the middle of the night, December 31st, my wife was panicking. She was a younger Christian then. Honey, what's going to happen? I said, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. So I just, you know, prayed in tongues a little bit. And this is what I said that night. Ministering spirits, go and get us help. The cars were just passing up. Pew! Who's going to stop for anybody on the expressway, you know, in the middle of the night? Nobody's going to stop for you. You know, so all the cars. Pew! Suddenly one car just went past us and then he stopped. And put the thing in reverse. The man came back. looked at, you know, and they had this new Toyota back then, you know, so he used the remote control to bring the window down. He didn't bring it down too much. Then looked at me. So I now said, my name is Olubi Johnson. I'm a lecturer in University of Ibadan. You know, blah, blah, blah. This is my fiance. You know, this is what happened and everything. So he looked at us a little bit more. Then he felt a bit more comfortable. Then he put the thing down, the window down, and asked us to come in, that he would help us. So as we're driving to the toll gate, he now said to me, he said, I'm a colonel in the army, and I have a gun here. He said, if you had just tried anything, it would have been the last thing you ever tried. But he was very nice to us. He gave us money. He took us to the expressway. We got these people who tow cars, you know, gave us money. And that time, they just changed the currency. That was a great miracle, you know. And then we came back, you know, with a tow vehicle, you know, and then he towed the car and took us home. Angels on assignment. Give the Lord a clap offering. They're real, folks. Are you listening to me? Now let's talk about prayer. Prayer and the ministry of angels. Now, when you pray, God answers majority of our prayers, if not all of them, and I dare say probably all of them, by sending angels who are his servants to minister to us the answers to those prayers. I put it here in my notes as I was preparing. This is true especially when we pray in tongues. For the scriptures tell us that we pray both with the tongues of men and of... I didn't hear you. Angels. That's why people don't pray in tongues. You don't know what you're cheating yourself of. Many times when you're praying in tongues, your God, the Holy Spirit, through you, is giving instructions to angels as to what to do. And you are the man on the earth. You are the legal avenue to which God can move on the earth. So when you don't pray, God doesn't have anything to work with. Now put here, the angels collect and distribute the amplified power of God generated by the saints in the place of prayer. I'm going to look at this, just expand it just in a short, you know, in a short form. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, quickly go there. He said, when you are gathered, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, everybody say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, he said, it must be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are gathered together and my spirit, notice the people are gathered, plural, my spirit is singular. Paul here is what I call the generating saints. With the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the other people are contributing saints. You see more light on this in Revelation chapter 5. Quickly go there. I'm talking about prayer and the ministry of angels. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 8. Revelation chapter 5. Good. He said, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having of them golden vials. Vial just means a bowl. Which are the prayers of the saints. Now, everybody, let's read this thing together so you get it. Because people read the Bible and they don't think. Now, he said, he had taken the book. Everybody say, 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Every one of them, turn to your neighbor, say, every one of who? The 24 elders. So, turn to your neighbor, say, every elder had two things. He had a harp and he had a vial. Now, the vial was full of what? The prayers of the saints. So, when people are, you see, when you are praying many times, it is not all the prayers you're praying that God is putting straight into the earth. Because it's not enough power many times. So, God will take some of those prayers and put it in a bowl that is connected to an elder. The elder has the bowl. So Paul here is telling us how it works. He said, when you are gathered, so God gathers the prayers of contributing saints, dumps everything into a bowl or a container in the realm of the spirit, you know, that the generating saints with the contributing saints, when you now put it together in the, with the power of the Lord, the power of those prayers are now amplified. Leviticus 5 will put 100 to flight. You know, 100 will put 10,000 to flight. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Depending on their capacities. So all of that, it comes into a big mix that is amplified. This amplified prayer power is now given to some other angels. Look at Revelation chapter 8. Am I talking to anybody here? I didn't hear you. Revelation chapter 8. And look at verse 3. Excuse me. My hand picked chapter 9. Okay. And another angel came. I didn't hear you. And stood at the altar, having a golden censer. You know, that's this thing that they used to burn incense. But it's not talking about incense. It's talking about prayer. And there was given unto him, everybody scream it. Do you notice he used the word here, much? Whereas in Revelation chapter 5, he just said odors. The incense had been what? Amplified. So he now transferred to this angel. That this angel now collects the amplified prayers. And then he does what? That he should what? With the prayers of upon the... So everybody who prays, that angel will now take that amplified power and he will distribute it amongst the prayers of the people. Each person, watch this, getting what he deserves, so to speak. I'll explain. He that sows sparingly shall reap. He that sows bountifully shall reap. That's how it's distributed. Just like I preached this some weeks ago, you know, sowing and reaping prayers. Just like you sow money and you get back 100-fold. In the same way, when you sow prayer, you get back, because it's amplified now. Then God will now distribute it amongst the prayers of the saints. Next verse. And the smoke of the incense, I didn't hear you, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God out of the angels. Can you see how the ministry of angels is intricately interwoven with our prayer lives? The next verse. And the angel took the censer, I didn't hear you, and filled it with the fire of the altar, and did what? Cast it into the earth. You see, if that prayer went, it was started in the earth, but it didn't have sufficient power. So God mixes it with the spirit of a generating saint, an elder. He's on earth, but he's also in heaven, seated at God's right hand because of his spiritual capacity and growth. It's now amplified. That amplified power is now distributed to the prayers of the saints on God's altar, and then recirculated back into the earth with the much incense. This is what is going on. And this is what God wants us to understand. The ministry of angels is intricately interwoven with our prayer lives, especially praying in the spirit. When you learn to pray in the spirit and you pray effectively, I must say this. I say unity. Say united prayer in the spirit. Say amplified power of united prayer in the spirit. I'm going to repeat it. Say amplified power of united prayer in the spirit. Unity at two levels. Number one, love. See, when he said we're gathered in his name, it's not enough to say the name of Jesus. That's his name. But what's his character? Love. That's why walking in love is so crucial. Then the other unity is unity, what I spoke about during the Bible study. Unity of knowledge, speaking the same thing. So when you have saints that are walking in love, speaking the same thing, praying in tongues, that angel, those prayers can be greatly amplified when they are joined with the prayer of a generating saint, an elder. That amplified power is now distributed and offered up with the prayers of the saints and then recirculated back into the earth. And when it comes back into that, it comes with great power, then it will avail much. Stand to your feet. Turn to your neighbor and say, the government is on your shoulders. Oh. Do you know the government is not on Buhari's shoulders? Now, I know it is. Don't misunderstand me. In the physical. But you see, what will happen in Aso Rock? What will happen in Westminster? What will happen in the White House in Washington? It all depends on what the saints are praying. It is what the saints pray and decree that will happen in Aso Rock, that will happen in Westminster, in London, that will happen in Washington, in the White House, in the House of Congress, and in the House of in the Senate. The government is on our shoulders. The shoulder is not in the head. Jesus is the head, but the shoulder is in the body. We carry the responsibility. Watch this. And we will be accountable for the success or the failure. I must tell you this little story as I close and we pray. Kenneth Hagin, many years ago, I believe it was 1970. This is around the time of Watergate with Nixon. And there were a lot of problems in America at that time. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed in 1968. Robert F. Kennedy was killed the same year. America was fighting the war in Vietnam. That was a very, very unpopular war. Many young people died. There was a lot of turmoil. America was going through a lot, you know. Then 1973, we had Watergate, the Watergate scandal that President Nixon, you know, late President Nixon had to resign, you know. Jesus appears to Kenneth Hagin in a vision. And he says to him, he said, what happened in the nation is not the fault of the president. He says, your fault. Hagin started to cry. He began to weep. He said, the church has not been praying. And you know, Jesus is very nice. But Kenneth Hagin tells us this, and it's also in the Bible. He said that, you know, sometimes Jesus is really nice and laughs with you. He said, but there's a time when his eye changes. When it's like a flame of fire. This is one of those times. He said, the responsibility is yours. He said, you people have not been praying for your president. All you do is criticize. Hello? The government is not on the president's shoulders. It's on your shoulders. They ain't not been praying. And then he saw three spirits like frogs. They leaped from the Atlantic Ocean into the continental United States. Then he warned him that if you don't pray again, something even worse is going to happen. That's when some of them woke up and started praying better. And then things, you know, Nixon resigned and Ford pardoned him. Then, you know, America, disgraceful. They had to pull out, remember? They had to pull out of Vietnam. Remember? Saigon. But, you know, thank God, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. Brethren, turn to your neighbor again, saying the government is on our shoulders. We must
I didn't hear you. We must not just pray, but pray effectually, pray fervently, so our prayers will avail much, and the angels will be free to do their work on the earth. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. In your presence, we are.
See, prayer brings us into the presence of God.
In your presence, we are content.
In your presence.
Expressions of your love,
revelations of your power and might.
Hallelujah.
In your presence
we now bring
a love song offering within the presence of our King.
Just stop for a minute. We're going to go back singing in just a minute. I just got a beep. This is what Daniel experienced. When Daniel set his face to seek God with fasting and prayer, after understanding the prophetic times and seasons in which he was living, and he didn't see anything in manifestation, he was still in Babylon. He was still under bondage to Nebuchadnezzar. And yet the 70 years of Jeremiah the prophet were right in front of him. He began to pray. Then Gabriel, in your presence there is light, brought light, understanding, expressions of God's love, revelations of his power and might. And that prayer of Daniel became an offering to God, for God to be able to do. One man with Shadrach and Abednego, they changed the leadership of empires until Cyrus came and made a decree that everybody who wants to go back to Jerusalem can go back, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. But it didn't work just because the prophet prophesied it. It worked because the prophet prophesied it and the intercessors birthed it. Now let's sing again with understanding.
A love song offering wherein the presence of our King.
In your presence, the place of prayer.
In your presence. In your presence.
We are content.
We are
content.
Hallelujah. Sing it.
In your presence,
we are content.
In your presence,
in your presence,
there is light.
Expressions of your love. Revelations of
your power and might.
Revelations of your love, revelations of your power and love, your presence, we bring unto you a love song.
one hand on your heart, raise your other one to God. I know many of us are already praying, but I want to encourage you to step it up. More effectual, more fervent, in unity, in His name. Not just, oh, in the name of Jesus, that's important. Don't misunderstand me. It's a legal requirement. But in love. Speaking the same thing. When the leaders lead, flow with them. Same mind, the same judgment. When you are gathered together in my name, two or three, then whatever they ask, it shall be done. It doesn't just happen just because we're Christians. We must activate the unity of love and the unity of speaking the same thing. And then tongues. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I thank you that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding. Father, I have better understanding now. I understand that when I'm praying in the Spirit, either alone or in unity, I must be praying with an attitude of love. In your name, in your character. Lord, help me. Help me to always make sure my heart is clean by your blood. My attitude is right. That I am in unity. The same mind and purpose with my brethren as we pray, so that your angels will be able to do the work they have been sent to the earth to do, to cause our prayers and the power of our prayers to be amplified and to reign, to rule in the governments of the world and in this earth, as it is written, that thy kingdom, thy dominion come and be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, help me understand this responsibility that you are placing on our shoulders as your church. The government has been put, the dominion of the governments of the earth, the responsibility has been put on the shoulders of your church. Oh God. Oh God. Help me. Help me. Have mercy. I receive fresh mercy and grace to from now on not only pray, but pray in unity, pray in love, pray effectually, pray fervently, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer, so that my prayers can avail much, and the angels of God can have power to do what they should do on the earth, so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Nela prakatoska frede, lo bridi gerano moshalika. Father, sili brikato frede inglamatolo moshe. Leiran ask. Father, thank you, zeli brikatolo moto frede ingarsk. Lord Jesus, thank you. Ramatolo matolo. Lambrakatolo matu fridesk. Lord Holy Ghost, sepiri kikeke fredia. Romotoske frene. Thank you for your blood, shileka kukuku frene. Thank you for your life, shalebrakaranu sufrene. Thank you for your power. Neako, real, romosili, rantolo matu frene. Into our souls, lepredelo matu frenesk. Into our bodies, zaria, reinantuski friak. Into our circumstances, liprono, rematolomotu frisk. Into our regional heavenlies, renatsto, rico, reto, ramatolomashka, rena, lambrikito frisk, remeri, ronoska, nogrodul, liprenengar. In Jesus' name. Just before we take the benediction and the grace, if you are here this afternoon Maybe you're one of the people who are just visiting with us for the first time. I want to pray for you. So every new person who's coming here for the first time, just come to the front here. I want to pray a special prayer for you. All the new people, God bless you. Come. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Anybody else? Anybody else? I think there were one or two other people. Okay. God bless you. You're welcome. You're welcome. God bless you. I think somebody else coming over there. Are there any people coming from the back there? Just before we pray. Okay. Open your eyes. Look at me. You're welcome. It's nice to have you. Okay. I'm going to pray two special prayers for you. I know that God brought you here. It's not an accident. So I want you in your heart now to ask God for whatever it is you want. And I'm going to pray that God is going to have mercy and He's going to help you. Okay, that's the first prayer. So let's do that one. Close your eyes. Just talk to God. You might have a need in your life, something that's going on, and you want God to. He will. He's a good God. Heavenly Father, I come to pray for these our friends that you brought here today. You know their hearts, and you know what they're asking. Lord, ask, move in their lives. Let there be a corresponding manifestation, Lord God, that they will see your hand in their life and in their circumstances now, in Jesus' name. And we're going to pray a second prayer. This prayer is to receive Christ in your heart. You may be a Christian already, but it doesn't matter. This is going to just reconfirm what you already have. And then if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, I'm going to send to a pastor at the back that they're going to pray with you to receive that. Because praying in tongues is so important, like I've been sharing, for you to be able, for your prayer life to step up to another level. So pray this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing me here today. I thank you for your word that I've heard. I believe Jesus died for my sins and shed his blood for the forgiveness, the cleansing, and the wiping away of all my sins. I also believe that he was raised again from the dead on the third day for my justification. So I accept him as my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord, and I have eternal life, living water, now inside my heart. Father, I thank you for this. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Show me how to love you more, how to serve you more. And I determine in my heart, I will not go back to a regular life of sin, but rather I will serve you in righteousness and in holiness all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Open your eyes. Turn around. See that pastor there with his hand up? Just go and meet him. They're going to pray with you and give you some books and stuff. God bless you. Give them a super clap offering. Hallelujah. We're in the presence of our King. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfied, and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you pray effectually and fervently, and so you enjoy maximally the ministry of angels and have no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen.